I'm really excited to have our next two guests on because I grew up with them and with their father, Bernie Quick, and Bernie was the founder of the Grand Marais Art Colony in 1947, along with the Minneapolis School of Art, where he had just been hired as an instructor, and he came up here as a summer art project for folks in 47. Later became partners with Bernie, or with Byron Bradley. I think that was in the 50s, if I remember right. So I want to welcome Leslie Quick Peterson and Dan Quick to our program.
Thanks for having us, Buck.
Hi, Buck.
Thanks for coming. You might have to move those a little closer to you. They move. There you go.
Okay.
Very good.
So it'll be a little easier. You know, as I mentioned, I grew up not only with you two, but I grew up with your dad somewhat because I got to take classes from he and Byron back when they were teaching youngsters on Saturday mornings, and it was really fun. I got to say, that was fun above, because I had no talent whatsoever.
I'm with you in that.
They didn't care. They treated you the same, mm-hmm. and it was a great experience for me. So, and then also the other part about it is that your father would come into our store all those years ago because he loved to fish.
Correct.
And that's one of the things that I remember is seeing him come in with the kind of the slouchy hat on, and you know, he had a way of talking that was unique. You know, his voice and his cadence was kind of unique, and it was really fun to talk to him, and that was my early impressions of Bernie Quick.
Well, those are really accurate. He's a very charismatic man, mm-hmm. and he drew people to him like a moth to flame, and he just had those qualities of that made him a great instructor and a great artist. He just was a unique individual.
And he had to have a lot of talent because when he started in art, I think by the age of 24, he was already one of the state's most renowned artists, you know, getting jobs painting large murals for like the Duluth Chamber of Commerce. There was one large one that he did in the Twin Cities about that time. Maybe you know some
correct.
Of that history.
Yep, that's correct.
And that's hard to do at age 24 to get that renowned.
It is. It would be, and it would be a very tough row to hoe, but he was mm-hmm. a very dogged person, and he would not let any type of defeat put him down, and he just kept plugging away.
And of course, I wasn't alive at that time, but
right.
I do remember hearing stories of his mm-hmm. mother, my grandmother, who mm-hmm. was determined that he was going to be an artist. She recognized
yeah.
that he had talent.
He
and
won a
really
blue ribbon.
Encouraged, yes, and encouraged him. And I can still picture her. I don't remember her well,
oh,
but
yeah.
She was a short little dynamo, and I can see her doing that for
yeah.
her son.
Yeah, blue ribbon at the state fair at when he was in fourth grade.
Okay, see?
Isn't that something?
You've got all the history
well,
there.
I read
you don't
it.
Need
I didn't
us.
Know it. But, you know, it kind of showed the path that he was on already, you know, at an early
mm-hmm.
age. And it's a great thing to have a mother, your grandmother, to move him along in that direction. Yeah. Moving up to Grand Marais, there already had been some artist presence up here at that time. You know, it was because of the scenery we have here. But when your dad moved up and started bringing artists from the School of Art down there and new students, it kind of added a much larger dimension to what happens in art up here. What are your first what do you remember first about your dad and the school, the summer school here?
Well, I was young myself. We were both very young. The recollections I have is my father.
You got that word out. I couldn't do it.
The recollection I have that sticks in my mind is my father arranging his classes for the day, and he would sort of have a grouping of his students, and they would decide among maybe three or four different venues that they would go paint in. And then my father would jump in his old car and run between these places throughout the day.
Oh, really?
And to check on his budding artists. And it was just an interesting thing to sometimes ride with him, and he would run from this place and run to that place and give instructions and then jump back in the car and go do the same somewhere else. And it was a fun time.
Mm-hmm. What I can remember, too, is I wasn't here when it first started. I wasn't born yet, but I was old enough to remember that he would often have to arrange housing for all of these people that came up, and many of them stayed for a week at a time, so he would get to know all the different hoteliers. Is that the word you would use? Or
That's a good word. I like that.
And so he really introduced the students to the community, too, and it was great for the community.
And you were probably a part of some of the Monday night fish fries that became famous.
Oh, absolutely. Famous. Absolutely.
Another way that he got people together.
That's right.
That was a highlight. That was a highlight. I can remember Emmy Bradley and Lois Turner and my mom all sitting around our kitchen table planning those fish fries. Emmy would make homemade baked beans. We're talking good food here. And we would get a lot of people. It was great. Yeah, it was really a fun time. And when people showed up, Dad was welcoming, hands down, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, he just brought people in, like my brother said. He just had that kind of personality. Totally engaging.
You know, I haven't mentioned, you know, why we're talking about your father right now, but it's because you're going to show a lot of artwork that most people have not seen.
That's correct.
Happening this coming weekend.
That's correct.
Not this one, but next weekend.
Right, the 25th. It'll run from the 25th of July to the September 7th. And it's going to be an interesting collection, I think, for us as children, too, because it's collections of items that we often don't see that our siblings have and we don't have access to. So it's going to be kind of a fun bringing together of artwork that doesn't necessarily reside in Cook County all the time.
Sure.
And it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be great. I hope lots of people come and see
it. And that's at the Heritage Post?
It is.
Johnson's Heritage
that
Post right downtown. And it's going to be around for a while, so you got opportunities.
Correct.
But the opening will be next weekend.
On the 25th, right, at 5 to 7. We hope lots of people come for the opening and for the show throughout its run. It's going to be a great show, and we just are excited to have lots of people come and see it.
As we were talking a little bit off air, I think of Bernie and his work, his painting, might think also of his fishing and other things that he brought to Cook County, but he also brought some things that only people who have been around a while would remember, and that is other forms of art. And Leslie, you kind of mentioned a little bit about some of the things that he appreciated besides painting.
Yes, very, very fond of jazz. Very, very fond. Many people in Grand Marais are very familiar with Frank Gillis. Frank Gillis and my family were very good friends. Frank started coming up here after my family was up here. Doc Evans, huge appreciator of ballet, photography, all of it he saw as art in his eyes.
Classical music fan as well, huge classical music fan, and that introduced him to other venues and other types of music, and with that he was able to bring a number of classical groups to the county and to Grand Marais at the Town Hall Music Series, and those were fabulous events of the day. It was something not to be, it was just an unusual experience to have something like that of that caliber here in Cook County.
And our culture at the time is different than it is now in general. It was more, of course, art was part of the culture, but more so it was the lumber industry, timber industry, and fishing and tourism. And now a couple of those have been reduced, but the art culture is still is stronger than ever, of course. They had 550 people here for a ballet performance, and that would have been in the 50s. And I don't know if we've had a bigger crowd than that, you know, for any single event until Unplugged came about. It's pretty phenomenal to think of that.
Right. Yeah, I wish I could have seen it, because I mean, I was obviously not around, but I mean, to think of ballerinas out on the point.
Yeah.
It's just, it's mind-blowing.
It is a little mind-blowing. It's the imagination that your dad and the others that worked with him had for this community is we don't do those things now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see that type of combination in the community of art in that personal way.
No, but it's great to see the legacy and mm-hmm. that movement still being carried forward. It's tribute, and it's great for this community. It's a very nice note for my father's memory, but it's also great for the community as a mm-hmm. whole, I think. It's fabulous.
And later on, the School of Art decided to put their money elsewhere, I think I mentioned earlier, and your dad combined with Byron Bradley to keep this going and privatize it a little bit. Do you remember that happening, and what effect the decision had on your family, if any?
Are you speaking of
when he was no longer supported by the Minneapolis School of Art?
And well, that was in the 50s, so that was pretty early on that he started it, and they then recognized it as a going concern and gave accreditation to students that attended here. Mm-hmm. And in the early 50s, that ceased, but
I think 59 is when they had
it. Yeah, correct. Yeah. You're correct. That ceased, but yet things moved on. Things kept going. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that was a real breaking point in the...
Didn't have a dramatic effect.
I don't think so. Okay. I think it was... I think it had to do with a lot of issues, and it being a summer program only, and just a lot of other things that came into play mm-hmm. that made that decision happen, other than the quality or anything even remotely like that. I don't think it was a breaking thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know this, but I suspect he was already deeply committed to this area
mm-hmm.
Because he was drawn to this area. Well, he was from Duluth. He was drawn to this area as a very young age because he loved to fish. And mm-hmm. He just loved the beauty of the area. So I think he was bound and determined to stay.
Yes. Keep it going.
Yes, absolutely.
This was going to happen. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And my mom ended up feeling the same way. She loved it equally.
You know, you mentioned all the hard work that had to be done to put those events on, and we're talking about your father, but your mother had a big role there too mm-hmm. in making sure those things happened.
She was quite the hostess.
Yeah. And also selling tickets and mm-hmm. making sure everything happened correctly. And
she was the organizer. Yes. Dad didn't have a lot of real fine organizational skills.
he
excelled in other areas much
yeah.
better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was definitely, she was the strength behind the man. She was his silent but very vocal and private partner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In 63, there was another major change, and that was the opportunity to buy the old Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Which gave a permanent home. And I know early on when I was taking classes, we were up at the Maple Hill School, the old Maple Hill School, which was fun for me because there was a crick in the backside. I could disappear.
I remember it very well.
And then when I got moved to the Catholic Church, I had to pay attention. You couldn't just disappear. But that was had to be a big change for the stability of what was happening.
It was. Go ahead.
There again,
I was quite young, and I think, I don't know how I have these memories, but I somehow do. I mm-hmm. do know that Dad was really kind of in favor of it because he was always talking about the perfect light for
yeah.
creating art, and it exactly. has north-facing windows. You don't want direct light in a studio. Mm-hmm. So he was really quite pleased with that.
Mm-hmm. With big open mm-hmm. interior and the light that was right.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's still there now.
It is. It's gone through a few metamorphoses mm-hmm. since its original room. It was just one big, large room. And mm-hmm. when they got it, there was no, Biffies in the place. And Byron had to put those in.
Down in the basement, which was horrible.
So it's gone through some major changes in its lifetime.
Sure.
I think for the better.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. We're speaking with Leslie Quick Peterson and Dan Quick about their father, Bernie Quick, who's going to be honored with an exhibition of his work that's held in Family and Friends next weekend, 25th, I believe, is the opening at Johnson's Heritage Post. Can you describe your father's art in any way that you'd like to the audience? Some people out there are not familiar with your dad's work. I know the big murals are a big part of it for me, and he has a number of them, you know, throughout the region.
He does. I think that's a difficult thing to say, put your finger on what his art was like to say somebody that can't see. It would be really tough for me to put that out there, because his art ranged from the mythological to the religious to modern to it's as many artists go through phases and times of change, he did as well. Mm-hmm. And his art reflected that. He was very good in many mediums. He did lithographs, he did drawings, he did etchings, he did oils, he did watercolors. So he was not limited. He did sculpture, he made furniture. He was a Renaissance kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to plumb a house or put electricity in, but as far as art went, he was it.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I was so happy that the bank decided, you know, found a way to save that mural that was in the old bank, mm-hmm. and they moved it to the new Grand Marais State Bank. And I know everybody involved in that was a big sigh of relief that it didn't just disappear in the.
I believe Tom McCann was pretty instrumental in that, okay. If I remember right.
Mm-hmm. And there's also another example of that at, I think, the Congregational Church. And
the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. I have a list of them here somewhere, but those are the ones that I think of. And, of course, down in Duluth, they've maintained the mural he made all those years ago. And then also he made a number of them at a location in the Twin Cities, like a number of murals at one location.
That is correct.
That are still kept up.
I would clue somebody if they were going to go see one of these murals for the first time, particularly say the one at the Catholic Church here locally, is to look deeply into the picture, because there's many things going on that you would not see at first blush. There's just many, many things that if you stand and you look for a moment, you will start to see things that appear that you did not see. And they are really there. It's just takes some looking to see them. So they're very interesting. They're very deep in concept and thought. So I would have people look at those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, what was the ones in Minneapolis, Dan?
I'm sorry.
Is there a location there? The Quick Legacy?
The Coleraine. Oh, the Grand Marais. There's St. Paul, the Skyway at
that's the
YMCA building. Mm-hmm. Minnesota Mutual Life. But there was others as well that I don't think this list.
Well, and I'm also going to interrupt here and say that when he was a teacher at MCAD for years and years and years, he would often go to the Black Forest for lunch, and he would go there so regularly that he ended up getting in a reciprocal relationship with them, where he painted pictures that are now hanging on the walls in the Black Forest, and then he could just go and, you know, have his meal. Worked out well. It was only a couple blocks from where he taught.
That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I took my kids there not long ago, so were able to see that.
Now, I learned something else about the early art colony, and that's, I don't know if you guys knew this, you probably did. At Lyons, at the Fisherman's Picnic, they wanted to be, the art colony wanted to be a presence in the picnic. So they started clothesline art. And Leslie, did you know anything about that, or Dan, to describe it rather than me?
Well, I knew of it. Okay. I saw it as a young child. I'm not that old, so.
Sure. But, you're about the same age as me, Dan.
So. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You look better than I do.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, I remember it only seeing it. Seeing the paintings fluttering on an honest-to-God clothesline held up with clothespins, and that's what it was. It didn't need a real fancy explanation. It was what it says it was. It was a clothesline art sale, and that's exactly what they did.
They strung it all the way across the street.
And so. I believe the Grand Marais Art Colony is resurrecting that, or has resurrected it, if what I recall is correct.
I looked at a photograph that I saw that the Minnesota Historical Society put out, and I looked at some of those paintings that are hanging there. Fabulous. And here they are selling them for, you know, I don't know, a couple of dollars or something as an incentive to be a part of that. And wow.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
That says so. It right there in the picture. I wish your listeners could see it because it's very descriptive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's quite a legacy that has happened over all these years, and it's been continued in a nonprofit way after your father passed in 1981?
81, correct.
And I believe your mother and Byron ran it for a while and then passed it on. And it's got to feel good to both of you to see it operating so well today, being such a big part of our community, producing all the art that's been produced at that, and the artists that have come out of that and stayed here, and even those that didn't, have become a big part of this area.
They have.
Yeah.
A number of the students have become instructors there, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
So it's coming full circle for a lot of people.
It is.
Yeah, every year whenever I see the plein air contest or the quick paint, mm-hmm. I just am thrilled. And Dad would be totally thrilled as well. Anytime he would see anybody pick up a brush or whatever, he just was so enthusiastic and just so excited for them. And I feel the same way now when I see painters out on the point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to miss this exhibit unless I can catch it in the first day or two. But for everybody else out there, can you repeat again, Dan, when that is?
It's going to be the 25th of July. Running through the 7th of September. And we hope everybody that has a chance, please make themselves available and come and see it because it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
And the opening, if you want to come to the opening, openings are always fun, is July 25th from 5 to 7.
Great. I want to thank both of you for coming in and sharing some of your thoughts about your dad and the history, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Buck, very much.
Good.